This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Today, we'll hear from a Raymond farmer, Darren Rosenthal. I took a trip to Darren's farm to learn about the cover crops he has planted on a 40-acre field.
I graduated in 08 from Lincolnwood High School and then went to Lincoln Land after that. And I farm with my dad today. We farm about 1,800 acres here in Montgomery County, some in Christian and Coupon also.
Have you guys finished up harvest for the year yet?
Yes, we have finished up harvest. We have just about 100 acres of tillage yet to do, and then we'll start anhydrous here when it cools off a little bit more.
And besides the farming operation, you also are a seed dealer too.
Yes, I do sell DeKalb Asgrow seed for Monsanto, and this is, I believe, my fourth year doing that. I kind of took it over from some of my relation that retired, and it's going really good.
Primarily, we talked about right now you're selling corn and beans, but next year you might move into cover crops too?
Yeah, after doing a little bit of experimenting with cover crops this year on my own farm, I think I may be able to sell some more for customers or anybody that has the need or want to do that in the future.
So we're talking about cover crops, and we actually just got done looking at one of your 40-acre fields that you planted some cover crops on this year. Let's talk about what you planted and what the field's looking like right now.
Well, that is correct. On August 13th, I planted tillage radishes and oats, and that was after wheat, and then manure that was knifed in after that. And as we stand here today, the radishes are they're about knee high, and but the tillage radishes part of itself is they're probably about 2 or 3 inches in diameter and about a foot deep, so they're really doing good.
It was pretty amazing to go out to the field and see these because they are very large in size, which looks a little bit strange when you're driving by on the road and you're not really sure what you're looking at. But let's talk about the reason for why you planted these. What kind of benefits do you hope to receive from them?
Well, first off, the main thing is hopefully to break a little bit of the compaction layer that I think is there. And then, of course, it will help boost yields next year, or they're supposed to anyways. So, and then, you know, it helps scavenge the nitrogen and the nutrients and just helps build the soil. And, you know, it's I think we're moving towards that type of thing with having a cover crop out there.
So this is the first year you've done this, so it's kind of an experiment, I guess you would say. But where did you get the idea, or what made you decide to plant these?
Well, I had wanted to plant the radishes on another 40 that was more compacted, and so I had had the seed for that. And then this year, just with the wet summer, after we took my wheat out, and then we were getting the manure, by the time we got done with that, it was just too late to plant the double crop beans, so I decided to do this.
Do you think in the future you might be planting these in other fields? And as far as when to plant them, like as far as rotation-wise, do they recommend after corn, after beans, or what are they saying about that?
Yes, I do intend to plant these again. I'm actually already have ordered some earlier maturity of bean to try to go ahead and get them on more fields next fall. And in my opinion, from what I've read and everything on them, that you'd like to plant the tillage radishes and oats after beans to prepare for corn next year, and then like possibly rye after corn stalks.
And so the radishes and the oats are something that's going to just remain in the field throughout the winter months, and then you will till that under in the spring. Is that my understanding?
Yeah, that's correct. It takes 3 consecutive nights in the mid-teens to winter kill the oats and radishes. So I don't plan on doing anything with them this fall and just field cultivating and planting them in the spring. If anybody has any questions about them, contact me, or if they'd have any need for DeKalb corn or Asgrow beans, they can contact me also. My number's 217-820-3110.
Once again, that was Darren Rosenthal, a farmer and Asgrow and DeKalb seed salesman from Raymond. If you'd like to talk to Darren about his cover crops or to find out more information about his seed availability, you can give him a call at 217-820-3110. 3110. The U.S. Department of Agriculture will begin mailing ballots to eligible farmers and ranchers across the country for the 2015 FSA County Committee elections beginning Monday, November 9th. Producers must return ballots to their local FSA offices by December 7th to ensure their vote is counted. Nearly 7,700 FSA County Committee members serve FSA offices nationwide. Each committee has three elected members who serve three-year terms of office. One-third of county committee seats are up for election each year. County committee members apply their knowledge and judgment to help FSA make important decisions on its commodity support programs, conservation programs, disaster programs, emergency programs, and eligibility. Producers must participate or cooperate in an FSA program to be eligible to vote in the county committee election. Approximately 1.9 million producers are currently eligible to vote across the nation. Farmers and ranchers who supervise and conduct the farming operations of an entire farm but are not of legal voting age also may be eligible to vote. Farmers and ranchers will begin receiving their ballots the week of November 9th, and ballots include the names of candidates running for the local committee election. Voters who do not receive ballots in the coming week can pick up one at their local FSA office. Ballots returned by mail must be postmarked no later than December 7th, and newly elected committee members and their alternates will take office on January 1st of 2016. For more information, you may contact your local USDA Service Center or FSA office. The text of the Trans-Pacific Trade Deal is out, and there's already lots of speculation when Congress will take up the agreement that has lots for agriculture. Duty-free treatment for most U.S. farm products immediately once the TPP deal is implemented, but when will that be? Former Clinton USDA Trade Advisor Paul Drazik has this to say.
The president, if he notifies Congress today, he will have 90 calendar days to wait before he can send the bill up. Well, he's going to send the bill up if he gets the high sign from the leadership in Congress that they want him to do it and they're prepared to vote on it and maybe even vote on it much quicker than the deadlines allowed Congress to reflect on it.
However, next year's an election year, which raises some speculation, a vote could be put off until after the election.
I think it's harder. Everybody is weighing what this means for them and what that means for the election, their election, the presidential election. But I just have a sense. I think most of agriculture is going to be very supportive of this.
Drazik is betting House and Senate leaders will want to get the U.S. back in the forefront of global trade. Without it, billions in market share could be lost to the Europeans and others.
The Europeans are negotiating free trade agreements with some of these countries, including Japan and Vietnam. So if we don't do this, we're going to be left out. I mean, we're going to start losing market shares fairly soon because we'll be paying high tariffs and other countries won't.
The TPP text shows Japan will end almost 60% of pork tariffs within 11 years and 77% of its beef tariffs over 15 years. Vietnam's pork tariffs will be gone in 10 years. Soybeans, corn, wheat, dairy, and many other commodities will see tariff relief immediately over several years. And the TPP promotes science-based sanitary measures and timely dispute settlement systems. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.